I beheld a great deal that was so unlike anything I had ever looked upon before in the material, spiritual, or celestial sense that I could find no words to describe them to those who had not passed through the great change which ushers the human body into a state of spirituality and higher understanding. As a rule, we are only able to comprehend that which can be measured by the state of understanding to which we have attained, and so I knew that I passed through many wonderful experiences while sojourning in God's kingdom that I could never describe to my friends on the earth, for I should be writing a collection of words that would have no meaning in a spiritual or physical sense. Upon arriving at the metropolis of God's kingdom, I was brought into contact with beings there, most marvelously grand and beautiful that I had ever looked upon. These beings had never lived in human form, but had been created by God power in a perfect form. They were neither flesh, blood, nor spirit. They were a higher degree than spirit, yet they were in the form of men and women, but of such a high degree that they manifested the perfected sex, which needed no other half to complete it. These people had attained such a high degree of perfection and knowledge that it would have been impossible for me to mingle with them with any degree of understanding had I not undergone a special preparation under the divine Hosea. They were called the immortals of God, and were of mighty power and understanding. They seemed to know of me and of all matters in connection with my life, for they revealed to me a great deal that had transpired in NY life. Chapter 2, In God's Kingdom. My close association with the divine Hosea in their journey to the higher realms of space gave me strength and power from the higher sources of being. The experiences through which I passed were equally interesting and far more wonderful to me than those through which I passed in their transition from material to spiritual life. Their revelation came to me for the first time that their spiritual man is capable of many regenerations, and when I say regeneration I do not mean reincarnation, for the spiritual ego of the man or the woman never changes or loses its identity. You may say, how about a very wicked person? How can he become purified and spiritual and still retain the individuality he feels while in the physical body? How can an apparently stupid person appear like himself after his faculties have been developed and unfolded through higher influence and teaching? I can only say, in answering the foregoing questions, that the wicked and stupid characteristics of the class of people mentioned were not a part of the real individuality. The higher and better part of the nature that prevails after the person has emerged from his prison house of clay constitutes the real personality or individuality of the being. The fact that a stupid man can become an intelligent being and the wicked man become an angel of light is proof in itself that there was good material from the beginning in these apparently undesirable offsprings of humanity. It only required the proper development to bring forth the good, just as the cold and apparently lifeless marble requires the peculiar touch of a hand responsive to a master's bidding to bring forth the imprisoned angel of the stone. We know that fine-toned instruments are discordant and inharmonious when touched by unresponsive hands. I may say that I passed through a spiritual regeneration each time that I passed into a higher sphere of being. It was absolutely necessary that I do this in order to enter these kingdoms, as neither flesh nor blood can enter the kingdoms of heaven. Neither can the celestial body enter God's kingdom until its ego has emerged and taken on the next higher form of manifestation. After the change has taken place, the only difference that is apparent is a more ethereal appearance, a more beautiful and powerful aura of light vibrating from the body, and a greater degree of power manifested by the personality. A celestial being must resume his former appearance after returning from God's kingdom to the celestial realms, but there always remain with him certain peculiar signs which enable the observant person to always tell that a certain person has entered the kingdom of God T greater than are the kingdom of the blessed. If the harmony had been exquisite in the celestial world, it was even more so in God's kingdom. It was grand to be alive in the celestial world, but it was glorious to be alive in God's kingdom. Every moment was filled with rapture, a rapture so exquisite that a celestial, spiritual, or material being would not be able to hold itself together under the intensity of the cosmic vibrations. 87. The highly gifted beings of God's kingdom received the power sent from the kingdom of their blessed, and by their own marvelous power manifested it through the cosmic ether to the celestial kingdom. Each kingdom of being received its power from the one next higher and, in turn, manifested power to the inhabitants of the kingdom below. I found that one part of God's kingdom was given over to temples, temples more marvelous in construction than anything of which I had ever dreamed, temples that people in different parts of the universe were constructing day by day, by the acts, motives, and experiences of their lives, without being aware of it. I entered temples wherein I beheld the world's work for thousands of years to come. I visited temples dedicated to the different suns, moons, and planets, and I learned in a more perfect way than ever before of the God principle sent out from these higher regions to the planetary bodies suspended in space. My understanding of creation, as I looked upon it from my new viewpoint, showed me that no 88 form of expression occupying space is ever lost. If it were possible for one atom of cosmic or intercosmic ether to become lost, then would it be possible for the universe, under certain conditions, to be plunged at any time into a chaos of discord and disaster. Since man himself is made up of highly charged atoms of cosmic power, it would be possible for his spirit to lose its identity and he be plunged into their universal, if the immutable law of creation permitted any expression or life-possessing spiritual individuality to change its form and become absorbed into liquid ether or disintegrated into nothing. High up in those kingdoms of God I found myself, not in the presence of one God, but of many. I realized that the mind that accepts one God or no God at all is limited in its conception. When we come to realize life from a larger viewpoint and we behold with the spiritual vision their magnitude of the universe, then do we realize their wisdom of the plan that gives to the universe many gods of power, many rulers and many teachers. 89. The power of the ruling gods of the universe combined forms one great universal mind that radiates throughout all forms of expression in nature and is one in harmony and understanding. My first trip to God's kingdom gave me this revelation, and on each succeeding trip I gained a more comprehensive understanding of the great internal plan, although I realized that it would be impossible for me to grasp the plan in its entirety, even throughout eternity. It was not often that beings from the lower kingdoms came into the higher realms of space, and so I was received with a great deal of ovation, and wherever I went in that great world of being my condition was known and anticipated beforehand. I was upon one occasion the honored guest of 25 ruling gods. What my experiences were in the presence of those mighty beings can never be told in words that could be comprehended by the material mind. Special power was exerted over me until I beheld myself as I will be in 100 years from now. Not many celestial beings would have been pleased with the idea of taking on such high conditions, knowing that they would be obliged to lay them aside on returning to their former condition. It was exceedingly helpful to me, however, to be so privileged. It furnished me with an incentive to more rapid progress. Chapter 3. In God's Kingdom. In God's kingdom I found myself possessed of a higher expression of the faculties than had been mine while in a celestial state of being. My powers of understanding were capable of higher action, and were much more intense. My vision could penetrate and rise above objects within a radius of thousands of miles. I was capable of hearing quite distinctly sounds thousands of miles distant. Everything with which I came in contact seemed to have attained such a supreme state of development that the life and conditions seemed to be the acme of perfection. But it had seemed to be the same in the celestial regions, and by this time I was led to believe that in the still higher realms above, there were degrees of perfection not known in God's kingdom. Never before had I listened to such wisdom as emanated from the person of their ruling God of those higher regions. He spoke, 92, not with his voice, but with his being, and I did not catch the wisdom with my organs of hearing, but with my being, and with this wisdom a strange consciousness came to me. Always before, the spheres of being in which I lived, developed, and unfolded seemed larger than my conception of them. I had been then but one small part of the conception of creative law, but now my understanding swept the panorama of material and celestial being, until I was larger myself than the material universe or anything in it, but I was smaller than the state of being into which I had entered, and I would continue to be so until I had attained that degree of unfoldment that lifted me up into a conception of the life and conditions of realms of being still higher above. I realized that the time would come when I should know that there was no such thing as distance. My comprehension would be so acute that the different spheres of being would appear as degrees, leading from one to the other, and I would be able to stand at a given point and with one sweep of my hand I would be able to touch the realms of the material, the spiritual, the celestial, the godly, the blessed, the superlatively spiritual, the superlatively celestial, etc. I realized that as we grow in wisdom we get away from the limited conceptions that make conditions seem what they are not. It was a wonderful thought to me, and I was as one grasping a telescope focused on the earth, the spiritual and the celestial worlds, in which I saw revealed their magnitude of creation, 1,000 times larger than any material conception grasps it, and I myself was larger than anything I looked at, not larger in appearance, for that was not necessary in the new light of my understanding. My powers of imagination were not enlarged, for that was not necessary in order that I behold from a broader viewpoint and with a stronger grasp of the understanding relating to life up to my present attainment. My vision was so clear below me and beyond to a certain point that there were no obstacles in my way, but I knew that, in order to penetrate still farther beyond, I must grow toward such a state of being, just as I had grown toward my present state of attainment. 94. As I rehested upon the growth and development of my life from its material conception up to the present time, it was clearly revealed that the purpose and plan of my existence had been most peculiar. Even in this state of my being, my mission seemed to be to enter into different spheres of action. I learned that not many were called, during the period of 1 or 2 years, to these higher regions, and, usually, if they were called, they remained here to carry out a particular work of this region. But here was I, not a great while ago an inhabitant of the physical plane, in these higher regions for the purpose of gaining light upon the marvelous conceptions of creation that I might hand the information down to those who were ready to receive it, either on the earth in the spirit world, or in heaven. Surely, my mission was a peculiar one. I had been called upon to take on conditions, through the influence of higher powers, that others might have been years in reaching, since it would be the plan that they work out their own higher conditions without any special dispensation from the higher powers. Already I had been regenerated through spiritual death a number of times, and to return to my former condition there, particles of my regenerated body would be disintegrated again and readjusted until I was in their proper condition to become an inmate of a celestial body. How absurd, you will say, and the question may arise as to why it should be necessary when one was in such close touch with the higher powers. Why could I not be called up into the higher realms without having to pass through these strange conditions? My reply is that the immutable law of higher being makes it essential that the process described be gone through with. Before experiencing it, I was filled with wonder, but not fearful, since previous experience had taught me to be fearless. Each time one half passed through the experience of regeneration, the conditions were different, but each time they were of absorbing interest to me. I did not wish to lose my identity nor become absorbed in the universal, and when assured by my befuddled teacher and guide that such an idea was simply a conception of man's mind, I was ready and eager for any experience that the higher powers saw fit to send me. While in God's kingdom and the kingdom of the blessed, the experiences that came to me were so far-reaching and wonderful that, viewed from a material conception of time, it would have seemed that I had passed through the experiences of thousands of years. During the period which would only mark about 2 weeks of material time, the wisdom that I gained made me feel as though I were many years older, not in appearance, but in the realization of things. I had ideas of God, power and creative law that a lifetime of material, or even celestial life could not have brought to me. I did not need a brain in that higher state of being, whereby I might convey my realization to my own consciousness and to those with whom I would converse. I possessed the divine element, of which my brain had been a manifestation while clothed in the garment of the flesh. My celestial mind had not been brain either, but a higher manifestation of brain element, nearer perfect and capable of greater power. 97. Upon returning to my celestial condition, my mind would take on the peculiar element it had possessed before. I had been regenerated, and some very wonderful and sublime experiences I had known in the kingdoms above would pass from my comprehension entirely, and I would have no memory of them whatever. After visiting God's kingdom twice, the process of regeneration would scarcely be perceptible to me, and what I saw and experienced would be ever after retained in my memory. So, after 2 years and 4 months in heaven, every experience I have known and every thing I have seen, from the spiritual world to their supreme realms of God, is clearly pictured in my mind. Frequently I say to myself, I am 1,000 years young. I have had experiences many have not had who have lived 1,000 years, and yet I am young and fair in appearance. My soul is alive and vibrant with plans for the future, and I am happy and more glad of life as each day passes, not for myself alone, but for those who are to follow after me and whom my influence is to lead heavenward. /93. And this is what the experience men call death has brought to me. It has brought to me a higher and deeper conception of life than I ever knew before. It has given back to me my youth, my health, and the realization of greater achievements for the future. It has shown me a picture of the years to come, when I shall have attained the standard of power that will enable me to help others triumph over material obstacles, thereby helping them to attain their ends and their ambitions. 2 years and more in heaven have shown me the wonders which God in His love and wisdom has prepared for His earthly children. They have restored me to those who left me for a little while, to pass on to the realms of the summer land. Surely God is good, His mercy is everlasting and His love endureth forever. 99. Part 3, A Pilgrimage to the Infinite Land. And it hath been decreed that the angelic being known as Rose there, Sunlight Eye, is to be called upon to take up a higher work, that for this purpose she is to be taken up into the kingdom of the blessed, the to appear before Ovanon, supreme divine ruler of the 253rd kingdom of the infinite, known as the kingdom of the blessed, that there shall he send forth the elect of this kingdom to welcome the daughter of light to the courts of the most high, that this shall be an occasion of advancement for all those who perform a noble work in the name God, from the sacred books of the kingdom of the blessed. Chapter 1. There were four of us, and we were bound for the mighty realms of the infinite. One of our party was the greatest spiritual teacher the world has ever known, and the other three were earnest, sincere souls, who had been especially honored by the higher powers and chosen to make this remarkable pilgrimage to the higher realms of their infinite. Two of the party were to visit God's kingdom, and the third, who had already been twice to that far region in space, had now been called to a still higher realm of the infinite, known as their Kingdom of the Blessed. Leaving the celestial sphere and the angelic friends who bade us Godspeed, we moved far up in spiritual space in attempting to comprehend space. One should consider that it consists of two parts, or strata, the outer being material and the inner spiritual space. It may then be understood by this that while we were at a distance as far away from the Earth as the farthest visible planets, we were still not passing through their regions where the planetary bodies exist. Sometimes we floated or glided through space, and then again we made use of our spiritual limbs and feet and walked through it. We were filled with anticipation of what awaited us in the great realms beyond, I being the third soul of our company, before mentioned, to whom had been given the honor of visiting the Kingdom of the Blessed. Upon my last trip to the region of God's Kingdom, my vision had not been opened to all that transpired there, but I had been given to understand that upon my third trip to this kingdom I would be enabled to see and comprehend more than upon the two previous occasions. We moved rapidly through space and seemed to travel over a pathway of our own, as, for a great distance, we beheld no celestial beings traveling in our direction. The beloved counselor and guide who accompanied our little party gave forth words of cheer and encouragement as we moved through space. No doubt his spiritually illumined soul turned frequently toward the anticipation of the great honor to be conferred upon him when he should be crowned supreme divine ruler of the spheres. It was a wonderful truth to contemplate that we, three souls, who had never accomplished any grand work for the cause of humanity, should be moving through space with this being, the being honored and worshipped by gods, saints, spirits, and men as the immortal Son of God. The electricity and magnetic power of the atmosphere through which we were passing was something marvelous. The vibrations per second could not be estimated in numbers. We were conscious of such a mighty power vibrating through our spiritual beings that we felt it was grand, glorious, and wonderful to live, especially when we could behold the evidences of God's mighty wisdom and love in the created expressions of the universe. I beheld many things in the enchanted region through which we were passing that I had not been privileged to behold in my previous trips to God's kingdom. This was certainly a realm of temples, whose grandeur mere words could never picture. Some of the temples we beheld appeared to move. We could cover quite a distance in space and still, buildings that seemed quite near to us in the beginning of our trip were to be reached. We planned to pass through all the temples and other buildings where we would be permitted to enter. There were thousands of them, independent of the individual temples, belonging to the people of the earth plane, who had built them, through the acts of their lives and the motives that prompted them. Some of the people appeared as though enveloped in a mist, others were bright and dazzling in appearance. Many were in the course of construction, and I could tell by their appearance whether their creators were making a good or a poor use of the powers the creator had given them. We did not stop in our flight through these great realms of space until we had reached a point which we learned was termed the circumference of evolution. In a perfectly round stratum of atmosphere, of over 100 different colors, appeared a temple which must have been over 1,000 stories in height. This was the Temple of Evolution, representing the progress of creation throughout ages of time. The building was perfectly round and was formed of electric atoms, whose vibrations increased in rate from the lowest story to the highest. We were ushered into the council room of this building by our guide and teacher, the beloved Jose. This room was filled with the most powerful violet light that we had ever seen, and in all directions could be seen spheres of very intense light, resembling miniature suns. In the center of the building was a circle of light more powerful than any of the others, and the rays from there, spheres of light all radiated toward the great central light. We did not realize at first that these lights were the immortal God centers of great beings, whose spiritual parts had been disintegrated for the time, being the great central light, toward which there, others vibrated, was the God-center of the supreme, divine ruler of the spheres. This must he there, state, I thought, but I had heard the Buddhists, term karma or going into the quintessence. Behold, as I looked I saw the spiritual form of, our great guide and teacher separate in the atmost 1/2 and as it separated I beheld a great light, appear and form a circle about the great central, light, and these words seemed to vibrate through, the atmosphere, worship thou my son, for he, is my representative and is the light which emanates from me. Presently this light moved, about 6 inches from the central light and a circle, of pale, delicate light appeared between the beloved Jose and the great ruler. The three souls who stood there watching this, curious phenomenon received this interpretation in, their souls, this one, who has not yet attained, human form, shall someday act between two great, powers, first between material and spiritual power, then between spiritual and celestial power, and so on through different degrees of power, throughout all eternity. Suddenly, without any apparent warning, there, two remaining members of our party and myself, were conscious of that great central power vibrating toward us, and the next instant our spiritual forms became disintegrated. I had passed through this experience on previous occasions, so it was not new to me, as it was to the two other dear souls, who had wondered not a little regarding this experience, through which, they had been told, they would pass in their trip to God's kingdom. Their experience seemed more wonderful to me, however, than upon previous occasions. My mind attained a consciousness of my own possibilities and powers, and of future conditions for the world, which I am unable to realize as clearly since being restored to my normal spiritual condition. While in a state of spiritual disintegration on previous occasions, I was unable to realize but 12 senses, but now I was enabled to realize at least 25. I realized no limitations while in this state, and could look forward to my own unfoldment for thousands of years to come. I had previously believed that the condition, termed spiritual, was the highest term that could be applied to a man or a woman through their eternal stages of progression throughout ages of time, but upon this occasion I learned there were conditions as far beyond the spiritual as the kingdom of the blessed was beyond the earth. While in the condition of disintegration before mentioned, I was able to foresee the possibilities and attainments of others in whom I was interested. This peculiar power of disintegration lasted for only a few moments, and, almost before we realized it, we were restored to our former condition. With the restoration we felt ourselves to be wonderfully invigorated and strengthened. We were now in the presence of mighty rulers and great personages, of whom a number were of such high order and of such great power that they were only partly visible to us. Some were so bright and dazzling in appearance that they seemed to be in a perfect blaze of light. We beheld a number who were, at least, 15 feet tall. They had very large heads and faces and the most wonderful eyes I had ever beheld. They were as large as silver dollars, very luminous and deep, and not at all out of proportion to their faces, a very imposing looking personage, whom we afterward learned was King Solomon, came forth through a curtain of light and conducted us into an inner sanctuary, where unnumbered hosts of celestial beings of both SQXCS had assembled. They were all clothed in light, and I learned that they belonged to the order of sun angels. We three travelers from the celestial sphere were to be taken into this order. We learned that the number taken and during a year never exceeds 4, so it would seem again that we were especially honored. One would naturally suppose that we would be embarrassed in the midst of such company, but we appeared to be perfectly self-possessed. A very bright being, whom we learned was a character of history, and who bore the name of Hypatia, seemed to be at the head of the order. She spoke to us and hailed us welcome. Daughters of the celestial realm, she said, we welcome you to our courts of light. Kma the starbeam, rose the sunlight, and grace the vessel, you shall, henceforth, be ready at any time to respond to a call from these regions to take part in our ceremonies, twice during a year, and to go forth, whenever bidden to do so, upon errands of mercy to the earth. The names by which you will be known in these higher realms are Oz the Counselor, Emma the Responder, and Grace the Messenger. The ceremony which made us members of their order of Sun Angels was very beautiful indeed. Of course, we felt honored, as anyone would upon whom such blessings were bestowed.